As we think about this series, One Christmas, it really comes down to there can only really be one Christmas with everything that was involved. God's hand in the virgin birth, as we saw a few weeks ago with Pastor Derek, and then as we saw John teach us last night, and the significance of the name of Jesus. There's only one possible Christmas that exists that is the most fulfilling, I think, in this world. And this week we're going to be in Luke chapter 2, and so you can take your Bibles and turn there with me as we are going to see Jesus born in Bethlehem. And we'll kind of work through this text. Maybe a little choppy here this morning. I was wondering, is that because I haven't preached in a while? Did I forget how to put things in an outline? But there's just a lot of good information here that I want to share, probably repetitive a little bit. That's on purpose. If you're a person that struggles with staying connected to the message, maybe you're extra tired this morning, I would throw out a challenge to you to mark down every time you hear me say a P word, okay? I can have some fun with that. Every time you boys listening to me, every time you hear, you got pens and pencils in front of you? Okay, that's excellent. Every time you hear a P word, you know, maybe put a dash and come and tell me later how many points you have. Or how many people are here. Anyway, sorry, those aren't part of the message, but maybe have some fun with that. Let's read together Luke chapter 2, verses 1 through 7 this morning. And it says this, "In those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world would be registered. And this was the first registration when Cornelius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time had come for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn." Very, very popular story, something that we have heard over and over. I remember Pastor Derek a few weeks ago talking about this, that I think it's easy for us to get caught up in just this text that we've heard over and over and over and over again. And I think at Christmas time, we always want to elevate the value of Jesus Christ in our lives, and I'm not here this morning to not do that. Sometimes I think we elevate Mary, sometimes I think we elevate Bethlehem, and I think one of the keyest and most important parts of these biblical stories that we often miss is God in His hand in orchestrating the plans that have taken place. You know, it amazes me what was before them in this process of going to Bethlehem, of this decree that Caesar Augustus gave to the entire world. It amazes me that we see them just go. I mean, we don't see any other details like that they were questioning if they should go or not to go. But it says that they just went. And they went together because, according to verse 5, they needed to be registered together. That Joseph and Mary, or Joseph was with Mary because they needed to be registered. Now, let's have an understanding of this Roman Empire as we kind of look at this text this morning. It's a very large area of land, and you kind of maybe are trying to get your bearings. If you look there where it says Middle East, you would see the place, the rough idea of where Nazareth and Bethlehem would be located. And so all the way from Rome, this emperor says, "Hey, this is the plan." And you can only imagine when the text says here in the scriptures, it says that the entire world should be registered at the end of verse 1. This really was, in their minds, the entire world. There wasn't Facebook, there wasn't social media, there wasn't these maps and this idea of looking at the entire world. But for them, this was the entire world. And what was important is that there was these people that were going to be sent back to their homelands in order to be registered or connected with wherever they came from. Now, was this a show of power? And we talked about this in Bible Guys. One of the Bible Guys talked about how this was for the purpose of money. This was to show power. But ultimately, I think that this decree went out for these people to go back to their homelands for the sake of Jesus to be born in Bethlehem. And I'm going to get into that and unfold that for you this morning. But I believe that God had His hand in this man, Caesar Augustus, to orchestrate or declare that this decree needed to happen. So that this child would end up not being born in Nazareth, but be born in Bethlehem, as we will see later in Micah, that that's what was supposed to happen. See, Mary and Joseph was from Nazareth. You could go back in the beginning of Luke and you would see that when the angel came in verse 26 of Luke 1, that they came to Nazareth where they were located. She went away to Elizabeth to visit with her. But then you would see in verse 56 of chapter 1 that she went back home. And so you would see that they were from, Joseph and Mary were from Nazareth and ultimately had to travel to Bethlehem. Now, I just picked up my phone and I asked Siri, because that's what we do in our culture today. Siri, how long would it take to get from Nazareth to Bethlehem? And she went on to say, I'm sorry, I don't have any maps for that area. So then I had to actually type it into my phone, but I came up with this. Okay? Now this is modern day. But you can see that if you were to take Route 6, you can see there Route 6, if you were to take Route 6 and you were to travel down, walking time would be 33 hours to walk that way. Okay? Now maybe you could take more of a straight line, but I'm thinking that the terrain is probably a little rugged, maybe a little more smoother to go this direction. But let's just say for the sake of our message today that it took 25 hours for them to walk that distance, okay? Do I need to remind all of you that this woman was pregnant? What happens to a pregnant woman? As the belly grows, okay? Is it okay to say the belly grows? As it grows, there's pressure put on other locations in the body, and they constantly have to go to the bathroom. Can anybody relate to that? Right? I can't, okay? Belly grows, but no pressures, okay? So think about this 25-hour trip with Mary and Joseph heading from Nazareth to Bethlehem. She probably gets about an hour to 2 hours into the trip, probably riding that donkey, uncomfortable, bouncing around. It's a wonder that she didn't have the baby on the journey, right? You ever think about that? But where did she have to be in order to have the baby? Where? Bethlehem. Who orchestrates all that? Who takes care of those details? Who understands what needs to happen but our God who is in heaven and does what He pleases? See, our God is behind this time of her life. Our God is behind Mary and Joseph traveling that great distance. Doesn't matter if you take Route 6 or if you take it through the back country. It doesn't matter what length of time that it took. It doesn't matter what obstacles came their way. God knew that Mary had to get to Bethlehem and would get to Bethlehem in order for her to have this child. I want to jump right to the application because that's what I do as a preacher. I want you guys to just take a step back and maybe I give you a little bit of a kernel or a morsel of really where I want to lead you today. As we look at this story and as we look at some of the Old Testament passages, I want you to see that our God had a hand in this journey to bring the Savior to this world. And I want you to see that this God that orchestrated all of these things is the God that still lives in this world today and orchestrates the things that are happening in our lives. As Danny Jones comes to me and shares this information, and Rob comes to me and shares this information, and as I know all of those things that those people were going through, and I think of Betty down in Florida that we helped, and I think about all the people that I'm interacting with in our community, and it just like buries you. You're like, oh Lord, how can people deal with all of this stuff? And I look at Mary and Joseph and I say, they too were in a position maybe of heavy-heartedness. Betrothed to this woman, did Joseph truly grasp and understand that the Savior was going to be born? Was he a little bit skeptical? Was he uncertain maybe just a little bit? Did Mary think, what in the world? We've got to travel all of this distance. Or were they in a position as a people to say, our God will take care of me. Our God will lead us. Our God will direct us. And so this morning, as we interact with this text and the other texts to see that this baby truly is born in Bethlehem, and that this baby was born because there was a God in heaven that had a masterful plan for the lives of the people of this world, including First Baptist Church of St. Louis. And hopefully this morning I can unfold that for you a little bit to see the value of this God that we serve. Let's pray together before we really jump in and start to unfold this passage. Father God, man, I am so thankful for everything that you have taught me this past week. I am so grateful for the encouragement that you've poured into my life. And God, I pray that that would be able to be transferred into the people that are here this morning listening, or be transferred to the people that will jump online and listen to this message. God, I pray that you would just continue to make yourself evident to us in the journeys that we are on. We may not be traveling 25 hours, 30 hours to this town of Bethlehem, but we are on a journey ourselves. And God, there is a lesson, and there is something that we can learn from this great town of Bethlehem where our Savior was born. And so God, this morning, help us to be drawn into you. Help us to be connected with your Holy Spirit and connected with your Word so that we could grow in such a way to have an amazing relationship with you. For you and for your glory, God, we pray in Christ's name. Amen. Let's talk about the trip to Bethlehem. I've alluded to some things already, but let's start to unfold it. You write some things down in your notes and then start to turn some other passages of Scripture. So there's a trip to Bethlehem. We see that in chapter 2 of Luke, verses 1 through 7. And we see as Mary and Joseph are traveling that distance, as you saw, the 33 hours, the 25 hours, whatever it may have been, the purpose was to register. The purpose, the entire purpose, according to our text right here, I mean, we know the backdrop that the purpose was to get Jesus to Bethlehem. But according to Caesar Augustus, the purpose was for people to register. To go back to that hometown, and John talked about it last week, of Jesus being in the lineage of David and related to him. And we know David comes from Bethlehem, as we'll see in just a little bit. But as they go and they're going to be registered, they're going to connect to a location, because as these people came back from captivity and disarray and chaos, they wanted to try to figure out, where are these, all of these people from? What is their heritage? Ancestry.com probably exists because of this first time of registering, okay? You know, referring back to this point of where did everything begin and start. So, simple, they're going to register their family. Secondly, for traveling purposes, they're going to identify their heritage, okay? They're going to identify their heritage. And again, I think that's what I so appreciate about John's message last week, and that's what I love about these guys that are preaching outside of me, is it's like, these guys share a ton of information, good information, they know how to present that information, and so as you just kind of soak all of that in, we see that God had a plan and was going to send this child and this mother and father to this location because that's ultimately where David came from. And it's significant that this child comes from David because the line of David, because that's what the prophecy had said all the way through the entire Old Testament. And so now you have this baby coming to this location that will be from the line of David. And we hear it in the Christmas songs, we know it from our teachings, that Jesus Christ comes from this line, and we're going to see that in greater detail here in just a few minutes. Also, as we see from this trip to Bethlehem, we see to give birth to their son. Now, I would encourage you, as you're taking notes this morning, that maybe you put in parentheses, my Savior, okay? I don't want to lessen this, that this was just some baby, just some little kid that was going to be born to these parents. But this was more than just a son. But this was the Savior of the world. And it was my Savior, it's your Savior, for you that have put your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. This was a big deal to ultimately get to Bethlehem for this child to be born. We know there was no room in the inn. We've heard it over and over in our story times at church. We know that he was born in a manger, a king that came down to the lowly, the great humility to be in this stable, ultimately there with all of the animals. It was decreed by Caesar for this to happen. It was decreed for the entire world to experience this. They were living in Nazareth, as I've already mentioned, and really, as you think about him, Joseph and Mary going to this town to register, you got to remember they weren't married. They weren't really married. They were betrothed. And so what communication he gave in presenting his wife or that relationship, because again, there was no child because Mary was fully pregnant, as the text says in our passage this morning. So as we think about the trip to Bethlehem, let's expound it a little bit, okay? Because that's the story. That's what we hear all the time in their travels as they're going. But let's talk about the significance of Bethlehem. And the significance of Bethlehem really comes down to Jesus' birth is revealed. Okay? And yep, you've probably got that in your notes. But I want you to see that this was the beginning place to where the Savior would be made known to the entire world. Through Bethlehem. This is the place that the shepherds would come and would celebrate and love on the fact that Jesus is born and the star directing and guiding. Nazareth to Bethlehem, I don't know that I mentioned this before, is about 80 to 100 miles away. Okay? So it was a fairly good-sized trip. The word Bethlehem, and these are just bonus notes for you that you can jot down, but the word Bethlehem in the Hebrew breaks down to meaning the house of bread, which would relate to Christ being that bread of life, the one that will ultimately save the world. It was the home of David. And you could jot down in your notes Ruth chapter 1, really all of Ruth. And you would see from Ruth that it would unfold that Ruth and Boaz were both from Bethlehem. And Ruth and Boaz had this child, and this child's name was Obed. And Obed was the father of who? Huh? Jesse. Excellent. Yes, he was the father of Jesse, and Jesse was the father of David. And so you could see in Ruth, of all books, what's the value of Ruth? Why should I be reading Ruth? You could see from the book of Ruth that God there was orchestrating a plan to ultimately get Jesus Christ to be from the line of David, born in Bethlehem, to be the Savior of the world. Our God did all of this and orchestrated all of these things. We also learn from this text that it is the birthplace of Christ. Excuse me, not this text, but from Micah chapter 5. And I want you to turn there with me. We're probably going to spend most of the rest of our time in the book of Micah. And so if you turn to the left in your Bibles, and you go past Matthew, and you're going to go to Malachi, there's Zechariah, Zephaniah, I see Habakkuk, Nahum, and then ultimately I get to the book of Micah. Okay? And that's in the left of your Bibles. And we're going to go to Micah chapter 5. You see, the birth of Jesus was made known well before the time that he went to Bethlehem. And here's one of those prophecies that was written of Christ being born. And so let me begin in chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, and it says this. Now muster your troops, O daughter of troops. Siege is laid against you. With a rod they strike the judge of Israel on the cheek. But you, O Bethlehem, Teresa, pronounce that word for me there. Yeah, I sat in my office for hours. Yeah, that word right there, okay? And for some reason, my brain can't connect with Tasha. You want to try it? Ephrathah. I like it, okay? And if you say it fast and confident, people are going to think you know what you're talking about, okay? Just a little Bible guys, you can make note of that. And so, here they are in Bethlehem, who are too little, verse 2, who are too little to be among the clans of Judah. This is a very small town. This is a very small place. And yet God was going to utilize this place for something big and great to come from it. And that big and great is Jesus. It says, from you shall come forth for me one who is to be ruler in Israel, whose coming forth is from of old, from ancient days. Because Christ always has been. It's not like he was just born for the very first time and came to this earth for the very first, or came into presence or being right then and there. Jesus has always been. Verse 3, therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth. Then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And he shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for now he shall be great to the ends of the earth, and he shall be their peace. I want to stop there. You guys, as I'm working through this text this morning, or this past week, and as I'm processing through this, I'm thinking there is so much significance to Jesus being born in Bethlehem. Because Jesus' birth revealed three things that I want you to see. The birth of Jesus Christ in Bethlehem revealed three things. And this isn't so much about Bethlehem, and this isn't so much about Jesus. This is all about our God that orchestrated all of this to make things work out. The first thing that I want you to see is that God has an unbelievable plan. God has this unbelievable plan. There was oppression that was happening. There was struggle that was happening. There was difficulty happening. And what God does through a lot of the times in the prophets is pointing forward, pointing to this Christ that is coming so that we can find hope and we can find peace in something that we can long for in the future. And God had this unbelievable plan, or improbable plan, okay? You could also use that word there. I used that word in the beginning. But as I keep thinking about this, this is unbelievable. This is unbelievable that God would orchestrate all of these things in order to send His Son to this little town of Bethlehem. Oh, that could almost be a song, I think. Oh, little town. Anyway, but He sends His Son there and has this plan for Him to be born there, to be ruler of Israel, as it says in verse 2. Look at that in verse 2 again. O Bethlehem, who are little among the clans of Judah, from you shall come forth to me one who is to be ruler in Israel. When we think about God in orchestrating His plan, His unbelievable plan, I sometimes think that we just think that this just happened. This is what's supposed to happen. But our God being in heaven is orchestrating all of this, is directing, and that's why I go back to Caesar Augustus and I say, I don't know that he was looking for more money. I don't know if he really cared where people live. I think God was leading and directing him, because that's what God does with rulers in our world today. I think God was leading and directing him to get this child to Bethlehem. And I think that God, in his great mercy and grace, would give Mary the ability to accept whatever God was going to ask her, Caesar Augustus was going to ask him to do. But I'm sure for Mary, as she's sitting there listening, Joseph comes into the house and says, hey Mary, pack a lunch for us because we're heading to Bethlehem together. We're what? We're going where? Well, we got to go to Bethlehem because Caesar Augustus. Now, did she know about Micah? Would she have understood the prophecy? Because maybe that Mary was sitting there when he said, pack a lunch, we're going to Bethlehem. And maybe she turned and looked at Joseph and said, it's time. The Savior of the world is going to be born. I can't wait. Let's go. Mary, do you need to stop? I mean, we've been on the donkey for a long time. You need to stop? No, let's go, right? There's this great anticipation and excitement because this child is going to be born. But this wasn't Mary's plan. This wasn't man's plan. This was God's to orchestrate all of these things to bring this child to Bethlehem. Pregnant, 80 to 100 miles away, born in a manger. Anybody, does that make sense to any of you? It doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me, but for God, it made complete sense and had a great plan in the process. Second thing that I want you to see as we think about the significance of Bethlehem is that Jesus' birth revealed God's unmistakable protection. unmistakable protection. For Mary's sake and Joseph's sake, it was protection from humiliation. Betrothed, here this woman is being pregnant and they weren't even married, and yet God protected them. Protection from unstable conditions. I don't know what it was like as they were traveling. It was a movie I think Pastor Derek mentioned in Bible Guys, or there's a movie that kind of depicts that maybe it was dangerous as they were traveling on the road. But when God's involved, is there really any danger to be concerned about? I mean, don't be stupid, everybody. But just thinking about that God is protecting and leading. Protection from the elements. Even as you think that this child was born in a manger. See, there was protection for Israel. If you look back in Micah with me, and let's begin in verse 3, therefore he shall give them up until the time when she who is in labor has given birth, and then the rest of his brothers shall return to the people of Israel. And she shall stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of his name, in the Lord his God. And they shall dwell secure, for he shall be great to the ends of the earth. See, God has this master plan that is unbelievable, but there's also this unmistakable protection that takes place in bringing this child to this earth. Do we miss this in our culture today? Do we miss this in our world? How many of you like to worry? Raise your hand. Okay, none of us like it. How many of us worry? Raise your hand. Right. Every single one of us. Right now you are facing, more than likely, every person in this room is facing something that is daunting before them. And you're thinking to yourself, I don't know how this is going to work out. I don't know how this is going to be taken care of. But when our God is in control of the plan, is orchestrating all of these things, there's great protection that comes along with it. Romans chapter 8 says, if God is for us, who can be against us? Nothing can separate us from the love of Christ, right? And he gives us a whole list of things. You see, when we fall under the umbrella of God and orchestrating in our own lives, we can find the protection that is there, that unmistakable protection. Now, I don't know that this necessarily fits for all people in our world. If you've never put your faith and trust in Christ and coming to this earth, being nailed to the cross, being raised from the dead, I don't know that you have that protection from God. Because specifically in Romans 8, it talks about you that are elect are the ones that are going to be protected. You are the ones that nothing will separate us from the love of Christ. I think that's significant. And for Joseph and Mary, those two people had a great role in this process for God, and were a part of God's great plan and had great protection. The people of Israel, according to Micah 5, are going to have great protection. You know, I see the news and I see Israel and I see the tension that exists in the Middle East, and I think you don't want to mess with God's people. You do not want to mess with God's people, because God will in the end have justice. There will be vengeance for the way that the people of Israel are treated. And there will be that protection that exists. So the significance of Bethlehem is the birth is revealed, this unbelievable plan, this unmistakable protection, and finally, God's unimaginable peace. Unimaginable peace. I really believe that as Mary and Joseph traveled on this trip, and when they got to this inn, and there wasn't any room in this inn, I really believe that Mary, she knew she was going to have a baby and was willing probably to go anywhere and everywhere to have this child. But I believe that she was resting in and trusting in this great plan and protection that God had in her life. To get her to this place, to have this child in a manger, in a stable. And she was resting in all that God had done and will do. See, God was guiding, God was protecting, and God was providing. Even if it wasn't maybe what Mary wanted, maybe it wasn't as plush and nice as that she was expecting as she traveled into that manger, into that stable. But she knew that she had a God that was in control and that would take care of all of the details. As I think about this morning, what about you? Do you believe and do you have a God that is connected to your life in such a way that no matter the circumstances, no matter the daunting task before you, you can trust in His unbelievable plan, His unmistakable protection, and His unmanageable peace? Are you those people? This past week, really it's been the past 4 weeks, God has really been giving me a peace in the life that I've been living. Probably mid-November, I went through a little bit of a struggle, but then I just realized that my God is in control. I need to rest in Him. I need Him to direct my path. And as a result, and in the studies of Scripture, in the time of prayer, I'm just being reminded that God is a God that provides peace. He is the God of peace. And I think of Mary and Joseph, and I think of their journey, and I think of this peace that was not just brought to them, but this peace that was brought to the world through a baby. This peace was Jesus. And for the people of Israel, there would be this peace that would be brought to this turmoil. But it goes beyond even that. There is peace from this child that can bring peace to the turmoil, and whatever that turmoil may be. Past few weeks, as I've been traveling to different death notifications, I ask God every time that I'm on the road and I'm traveling to a location, I'm just asking Him for peace. Asking Him for support. I'm asking Him for directions. Dealing with a family member that lives a great distance away that maybe is sick or ill, I've got to ask God for peace and to allow me to be calm. To have a son that go through what he went through maybe last night in this accident, and then maybe the relationship and connection. But you got to rely on God and that He is the God of peace. And I think sometimes in our Christmas season, we forget about this peace that God has brought as a result of the plan and protection that has happened in our lives. This past weekend, on Sunday, a week ago, we walked in, and if you're on social media, you know all about this story. But as we walked into our house, and was going to have a coaches meeting at 1 o'clock, or no, I guess it was coaches meeting, it was going to be at noon. We got home about 11:30 in that morning after church, and we walked into the house, and Wendy went downstairs probably to do some laundry or something, and as she got to the bottom of the steps, I heard this scream. Now, the scream reminded me of the time when she found a mouse in our bathtub at our house in Ithaca, and so I thought maybe at first we had a mouse, and then she says, "There's standing water everywhere in the basement." And I thought to myself, are you kidding me? And so I go walking down the stairs, and I should have threw the picture up on the screen. I come walking down the stairs, and there our basement is that has water everywhere on the floor. Now, if you've ever been in our house, our basement is finished. I think we have a nice basement, walnut cabinets, you know, nice furniture, all of this. And I got to tell you, normally when I would face a situation like that, I would be stressed out and freaking out, okay? But as I walked down there, and as I take a step down to walk in to get the water heater shut off, and as I'm walking through the puddles of water to get to the water heater, I thought to myself, God, what is it that you want me to learn from this? God, you're bigger than this water on the ground. And you could see my family, they were a little bit in a panic mode. What do we do? What do we do with furniture? How do we got to get this up? We got to do this. We got to do this. And I'm just kind of like, I just go over and I just shut the water off, and I just look around, and I'm thinking to myself, man, I sure am glad I have a 15-year-old son that's capable of working, okay? That was honestly one of the first thoughts I had. Then the second thought I had was, we got to have lunch, so what are we going to do for lunch, okay? And then the third thought I had is, how in the world are we going to get all this water cleaned up? And I'm not kidding you guys, I had a peace about me in a very difficult situation. Now, how does that compare to somebody that's been injured or somebody that's dying or somebody that has died? Crisis is crisis in the world that I live in. And for me, that was a crisis moment. It was for my family. And yet we rested in and trusted in this God that took care of Mary and Joseph to get this baby to Bethlehem. And I want to challenge you this morning. Can you have that same peace no matter what it is that is before you that Mary and Joseph experienced? Because here's the lesson that we can receive from Bethlehem. The lesson that we can receive from Bethlehem is this. God can. Now, you guys have three dashes in your bulletins, don't you? And you're sitting there with great anticipation, wondering what in the world could go under this God can. Well, today's fill-in-the-blank Sunday, everybody. And I challenge you, what is one word, sentence, phrase that you could put in one of those blanks? As you think about what God did with Mary and Joseph, and now you come back to our own lives, and you all kind of went, yeah, He can, He can. I saw it, I heard it. What could you say? God can what? Always provide. There might be a good one to just put there in your blank. I don't know. I don't know if it is or not. Evelyn, you need to put that one there. God can. Take care of me. Take care of me. Maybe that's one that you put there in the blank. God can. Love me. Go ahead. God can work miracles. We saw that with Mary and Joseph. We saw that with a baby being born. We saw that with a Savior being nailed to a cross. And we saw that from Him being raised from the dead. What about today? Do we still see that? Can we still experience that? Yeah. God can. What? Heal. Maybe you're facing something today that's just sickness. Maybe you have a loved one. God can. God can forgive. We learned about that, I think, 2 weeks ago, even last week in John's message. Absolutely, can be forgiveness. God can satisfy. Do we really believe that, Carson, at times in our lives? Because, man, I can tell you in my own life, that's a struggle for me. Anybody else? God can what?
Answer my prayers.
Answer your prayers. Do anything He pleases. Psalm 115.3 is where that specific, I said it earlier, and Alex echoes it. Psalm 115.3 is clearly what that says. That God is in heaven and He does what He pleases. Everybody, I just long for us to be a people that believes in this amazing God. That yeah, we elevate Christ this Christmas season. Don't take it the wrong way that I don't want to elevate Christ. But it's just not another time of year. It's just not another birthday. This is about a God that had a great plan for the lives of people to change the world. And I challenge you to accept that, to believe in that, that God can provide even for you the plan, the protection, and the peace, no matter what you face today. Let's pray.